Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us. For those of you who may not know me, I'm Jack Williams. I'm the general manager of EWTN Radio, and we're pretty close to on time. It took us 20 years and 20 conferences to pull it off, but we actually have gotten you here pretty close to on time. Just a little overview of what the day is going to look like up here today. We're going to hear a talk to begin, as we do every year. And then when this talk is over, near the top of the hour, we'll head upstairs for Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and then there will be four priests on hand to hear confessions as well. So we encourage everybody to avail themselves of that opportunity. At 11 o'clock, we have the great pleasure, as we've had the last several years, of celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and our Bishop, Robert Baker, will be the presider. And following Mass, we will eat lunch in the castle. So if you just make your way after Mass to the castle and just go downstairs, there's an elevator for those who need it, or a stairway on the left-hand side as you walk in, and go down the stairway into the basement of the castle, and we'll have lunch there. You'll have free time, you know, essentially to do whatever you would like from 1 to 4 or so, but during that time, Mother Dolores has once again most graciously made the sisters available to us. So from 1 to 1:30 in the parlor, which is at the top of the stairs here across the hall, you can visit with the sisters. I would encourage you to do that if you have the opportunity. There will be a rosary in the Lord's Grotto, which is behind the castle down by the river, at 1:30. And then from 2 to 4, the John Paul II Eucharistic Center, which if you haven't been, is spectacular. It will be open from 2 to 4 for touring. From 2 until 2:45, if you would like to have a guided tour of the shrine, then you can meet in the castle, and one of our pilgrimage folks will give you a guided tour from 2 to about 2:45 of the grounds and everything that surround them here at the Shrine of the Most Blessed Sacrament. The Divine Mercy Chaplet will be said in the upper church, where we will have Mass at 3 o'clock. And then at 4 o'clock, Jerry Usher and Debbie Giorgiani are going to give a talk about, you know, they have for years and years and years gone around to many of you affiliates, and a lot of you have had them come to your locations to help you with your on-air pledge drives. And they've actually are in a situation now where they can actually do these on-air pledge drives for you virtually from a remote location, which saves you the expense involved in bringing them to your location. So they're going to talk a little bit about that. It's a great opportunity for those of you who maybe have not had them. They make a huge difference. You know, there was an old, when I was a retail person in my former life, there was an old saying that advertising doesn't cost, it pays. And the same holds true with Jerry and Debbie. Their services don't cost, they pay. And this is an opportunity for folks who maybe couldn't afford to bring them out, you know, to be able to have a more economical way to avail yourself of their services. Then from 4:45 to 5:15 is dinner, and then the buses will leave promptly at 5:15 to head back to the network for Father Mitch's live show tonight, where our Morning Glory radio team, Gloria Purvis, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and Monsignor Charles Pope will be the guests with Father Mitch, and we'll make up a good portion of that studio audience. So don't dawdle getting to dinner, okay? Get there and get moving, because we only have a half hour and the buses are leaving. We have a very strict no pilgrim left behind policy. So if for some reason you are not riding the bus back that you came on, please make sure you let Michael or Jeff know that you're not going to be riding back with them. If you have any questions throughout the day or need any guidance, Michael and Jeff will be floating around, and they'll be happy to answer your questions. And we'll have a wonderful day. It's always it's just a wonderful way to kick off our time together, and I know you'll enjoy it today. A very special treat this morning as well. You know, Catholic radio, it existed in to a certain degree before Mother Angelica got involved directly. There were a handful of Catholic radio stations. Most of them were playing NPR or contemporary rock or something like that. There were a couple diocesan owned stations that were doing some Catholic broadcasting, but not much until Mother started the shortwave network in 1992. And then in 1995, offered up that programming free of charge to you all if you could procure or already had an AM/FM radio station. So Mother played obviously an integral role in that, and really no one in our midst had a whole lot more experiences with Mother Angelica and had much more, was actually brought here directly by Mother Angelica as Father Joseph Mary Wolfe. So I asked Father if he would come and share with us about the importance of the apostolate that we're involved in, share some stories with you about the struggles perhaps that Mother Angelica had doing to a certain extent the same thing that you all are doing. You know, when my late wife Susie passed away, Father Joseph was in our home, you know, right up until about 5 minutes before she passed away. He just coincidentally, if you believe in such things, had the TV mass the next morning and had some lovely things to say that really comforted our family. He was on the altar when Johnette and I were married, and so he holds a very special place in my heart, and I know he holds a very special place in all of your hearts too. So please give a warm welcome to Father Joseph Mary Wolfe.
And if you ever want to see how to properly have a wedding, watch the video of Jack and Jeanette's wedding. It was a beautiful wedding that privileged to be a part of. Well, let's invite the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Well, welcome. And thank you for what you do to spread the gospel. And what an adventure it has been to be connected with this apostolate here since 1985. I was just 26 years old and came to work as an engineer at EWTN and did that for 2 years. It was a little mom and pop operation like probably most of you. With 20 employees, we were on the air 4 hours a day. And to watch it grow from that to what it is today has just been a remarkable strengthening of my own faith, but such a blessing of mercy, I believe, for the entire world. I really see it as an instrument of God's mercy. In fact, one of the first things that I did when I came here to work in engineering is that we were going to record the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Father George Kosicki. And at that time, there were no cameras in the chapel. So our job was going to be to run these cables over the top of the roofs and then run them into the chapel there. And the sisters sang the Divine Mercy Chaplet with Father George Kosicki leading it. It was a devotion that most Catholics did not really know. And I believe from then on, it was airing daily. So I really see it as an instrument of God's mercy in our time today. This morning I was at the little chapel in Irondale. You'll be visiting there. And that's where it all began. In 1962, that little chapel was dedicated on the feast of St. Bernardine of Siena, the great Franciscan preacher. And it was May 20th, 1962. And that's where the sisters were until just before the Jubilee year 2000, when in December before that year, they moved up here and remain here now for almost 20 years. So our community, as you see, we have the monstrance on our habit. So like the poor clares of perpetual adoration, we have adoration as an essential part of our community spirituality. We have an hour of adoration, a holy hour every day, something that Venerable Fulton J. Sheen recommended and said that was really what brought fruit to his own preaching. So I was making my holy hour this morning and I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to talk to you about. And it came to me something I had not thought of, and that's behind you are the sisters that have been part of this new foundation and Mother Angelica, the deceased sisters. And Mother Angelica are in the tombs behind you, the crypt behind you. And I was thinking, I knew all of them, with the exception of Mother Angelica's mother, who died in 1982, which was 2.5 years before I arrived. But the rest of the sisters I knew. And I think each one of them has something to communicate to us about this remarkable work that Mother Angelica did with God's grace and his providence, just like he does with all of us. So I just wanted to mention each of the sisters and a particular thing that I think that we can take away for our own spiritual life and encouragement in the sometimes difficulties we face in carrying out this great mission that God has given to us, all of us. So the first one I wanted to talk about was Sister Veronica. Now, Sister Veronica was Mother Angelica's novice mistress up in Ohio. And so she came down here when Mother Angelica and the sisters came down. And she lived to be 95 years old. She died in 1988. But one of the sweet memories that I have about Sister Veronica is that, of course, the sisters were on the cloistered side of the chapel down in Irondale. And in the morning, we would get there early. And toward the end of Sister's life, she was kind of bent over from the curvature of her spine. And she would just kind of look up at you with her eyes like this. And she would talk to you, but just the sweetest sister. And toward the end of her life, she was losing some of her mental faculties, but she still very much could converse with you. But she'd be brought into the chapel in a wheelchair. And so before Mass, suddenly you'd hear this sweet voice of Sister Veronica. Oh, my Jesus, I love you so much. Oh, my Jesus, I love you so much. So she would sing that practically every morning before Mass when they brought her in. The first thing as she saw our Eucharistic Lord was she would sing this little Christmas melody with, oh my Jesus, I love you so much. Oh my Jesus, I love you so much. And you know, love is the only thing that will motivate us. We have to have this burning love for the Lord. If we're going to persevere in the struggles of our mission that God has given to us and all the challenges that we face, it's love that's going to spur us on. It's going to keep us going. Because I'm doing this for love of you, Jesus, and for the conversion of sinners, as the children of Fatima were taught by Our Lady to pray. Jesus, this is for love of you and for the conversion of sinners and in reparation for sins against the Immaculate Heart, sins of the world. Jesus, this is for love of you. So there's a necessity for all of us to grow in this burning love of the Lord. Where there is love, there is no labor. We could say that sometimes just the challenges of life can be a burden, but if we have love, then it's not so heavy. You know, Mother had this great sense of humor that she could see things more lightly. Why? Because she trusted in God's providence. And I'll be talking about the significance of her suffering and what she teaches us in that suffering, and even the lightheartedness that she could have in the midst of that. So where there is love, there is no labor. And at her funeral mass, where I preached, I said, you cannot understand Mother Angelica without reference to the one that she loved with the passion of a bride. She had encountered his love as a teenager back in Canton, Ohio, when she was miraculously healed after praying that novena to Saint Therese. And it was like the rest of her life, she just had this burning desire to make him more known and loved, because he had revealed his love to her. She had encountered him, and she wanted to do all that she could. She wanted to give herself completely to him by entering the cloister first at Cleveland and then being transferred to Canton, Ohio, and then wanting to start a new monastery in the South, where there was a lot of turmoil going on during the civil rights movement in the 60s. She wanted to give everything to the one who had given everything for love of her. And so, for example, when she was on Larry King Live one time, she was debating Jack Valenta, who was the head of the Motion Picture Association, a Catholic man. And he would say, well, we just can't, and it was a debate about The Last Temptation of Christ, that horrible film. And Mother was so against it. Why? Because it was about the one she loved with the passion of a bride. And it was demeaning. It was undermining the truth about him. And Jack said, well, we can't have censorship. A mother said, look, sweetheart, if you ever heard that, you knew you were in trouble. Look, sweetheart, I'm not talking about censorship. I'm talking about taking responsibility. So many in the media don't have responsibility today about what they're broadcasting. It's all about the dollar. I watched a documentary a couple of days ago about the opioid epidemic and how many Hollywood personalities have died from overdoses. Michael Jackson and Prince and Whitney Houston, and they just had this ongoing, just endless list. But then they talked about these different films that promote taking drugs as something exciting to do. And they actually, I was surprised, talked about Hollywood's responsibility. So Mother is saying, I'm talking about responsibility. We have to be responsible about what we're broadcasting. It does affect people. As Jack mentioned, you know, advertising, you know, it pays. Well, why are they willing to pay so much money to advertise? Why? Because it influences people. Anything on the media influences people. And the gospel influences people with the truth. It's a lion. A lion. Just let it loose. So we need that personal love for the Lord. Yesterday we had the feast of St. John Paul II, St. John Paul the Great. And in his beautiful last encyclical, he said, you know, to spend time in adoration, he says, just to rest on the breast of Jesus like the beloved disciple. That was the kind of intimacy he had with the Lord. And adoration is one of the ways we grow in that intimacy with the Lord. So, Sister Veronica, oh my Jesus, I love you so much. Oh my Jesus, I love you so much. We need that burning love to sustain us. Where there is love, there is no labor. Sister Raphael was Mother's vicar and close friend. Mother wept many tears at the death of Sister Raphael. They were very close. And Sister Raphael wrote a beautiful little biography, which I think really captures the early spirit of the community. If you've never read this, I encourage you to do so. It just catches that contagious joy and faith and enthusiasm of the early community of the sisters. And Sister Raphael is the one that wrote that biography of Mother Angelica. She loved to sing to the Lord. And she told me that for a time she had lost her voice, and it was really something that troubled her because she loved to sing. But then after some years, it came back, and she would just sing in her 70s. She loved to sing Panis Angelicus. And if you have any copies of those masses before the year 2000, when the sisters were the choir, she just sang, her whole heart was there. Her whole heart was there. And even if you can't sing well, we all need that joy in the Lord. That joy that just springs up in song, like Francis. St. Francis is known for his joy, and he told that, or there's that story told in Francis's life when he and Brother Leo were coming back from Perugia in the north, and they're walking to Assisi, and it's cold, and there's a cold rain, and it's, you know, just a difficult walk for them to get to Assisi, and Brother Leo says, "What's perfect joy?" And Francis said, "Well, if everybody joined our order, that would not be perfect joy." Keep going. "Well, what is perfect joy?" "Well, if the whole world was converted, that would not be perfect joy." So it goes on and on like this. "Well, what would be perfect joy?" And Francis says, "Well, we get back to the friary in Assisi, and we knock on the door, and it's closed, and everyone's already gone to bed. And we knock and we say, 'It's your brothers, let us in.' And they say, 'No, you're not telling us the truth. You're some vagabonds. Go away from here.' And we keep knocking, 'No, it's your brother Francis, let us in.' And they continue to say, 'No, we won't let you in. Go over to the Crozier's place, stay with them.' And finally they get tired of our pleading, and they open the door and they throw us out into the ditch and hit us with a club. And if we still have joy in our heart, that's perfect joy." But there's a truth in that, isn't there? That the real joy that we have in the Lord doesn't depend on external circumstances. It's something deep in here. It's because of our union with the Lord, who is the joy, the delight of our hearts. And that was something that we saw, especially I remember the sisters, and just their joyful enthusiasm was contagious. People wanted to be part of it. You know, I'd heard one time that this survey, a study was done about managers, and those managers that were especially successful, what were some qualities they had? And there were two of them I've never forgotten. One was that they had a passion for what they were doing. Second, they had fun doing it. And so others want to go along for the ride. And I thought, you know, that really describes Mother Angelica. She had this burning passion to make the Lord more known and loved. And she had fun doing it. Wherever Mother was, crowds would gather because there's laughter going on. there's some joy there that they wanted to touch. They wanted to be a part of that. We all did. Sister Raphael, at the end of her life, so the sisters moved up here December 1999. The temple was dedicated December 19th, 1999. This will be the 20th anniversary year. Sister Raphael died just a couple of weeks after that, January 9th, the year 2000. But the Lord did something very special at the end of Sister Raphael's life. It was like, and Doug Keck described it as, "I'd never seen anyone glow before." It was like she's between heaven and earth. She had been in a coma, and then she came out of it, and it's like she's in between. And she wanted to meet with each and every one of us. Those that were vice presidents at EWTN, the friars, the nuns, she met with us individually. And she had a word for us, something Doug never told me what she said to him, but he's never forgotten, and I have not forgotten what she told me too. And she said, when Mother and the sisters were there, she said, "Mother, everything you taught us is true. Everything you taught us is true." And so what a beautiful end of her life. Mother Angelica was embracing her when she breathed her last, Sister Raphael. Sister Joseph, you know, and Mother Angelica, she had these mini books were being passed around, and she started to get these requests for interviews. And she recounts in Answers Not Promises, I just want to read what she wrote in Answers Not Promises about the first TV station she visited in Chicago. You know most of the details of that story, but a couple of them you may not know. She said, "Channel 38 was a small Christian station perched atop a tall building. There are hundreds of stations in the United States just like it, but for some reason, the moment I set foot inside that studio, I said, 'Lord, I got to have one of these.' This taught me something I've never forgotten. You've got to be very specific when you ask the Lord for something. You never know when he's going to pass by and say, 'Amen.'" "For a few minutes, I debated the obvious question, what on earth would 12 cloistered nuns do with a TV station? It was a ridiculous idea. But so were our printing presses and 500,000 books a month being passed out. By now, I had learned to accept inspirations, even the crazy-sounding ones. On the ride home from Chicago, I couldn't get the thought out of my mind. 'Lord,' I murmured, 'I've just got to have one of those.' A friend, Tom Kennedy, was driving the car. 'What, Mother? One of what? A television station or a studio or something?' I said vaguely. Just then, my companion, Sister Joseph, who was sitting in the back seat praying, spoke up. 'Mother, the Lord just said to me, tell Mother the media is mine and I give it to her.' 'Are you joking?' I asked incredulously. 'I don't think he was,' she answered. And that was the beginning of the Eternal Word Television Network. So she had a sister who had mystical gifts, Sister Joseph, who helped in those early days and gave her that encouragement with the other things that signs that accompanied it, that yes, this crazy idea, we're to go forward with it. Sister Joseph. She loved little jokes. On Thanksgiving, she would say, "Well, the young turkeys were acting up, and the mother turkey said, 'Now you children, settle down, or your father's going to turn over in his gravy.'" She loved that. Sister Immaculata, she died of cancer at the age of 47. And my fond memory of her, there are many, but was a massive viaticum we had in her room shortly before she died with all of the sisters around her bed. And she would say to me the words of St. Ignatius of Antioch, "I'm Christ's wheat." St. Ignatius knew he was going to be taken to be fed to the lions. And he said, I'm Christ's wheat. And Sister Immaculata said, "That's how I feel as my body's being eaten away by cancer. I'm Christ's wheat." You know, something that she can offer even as she's being eaten away by the cancer. And St. Paul Timothy wrote, "Bear your share of the hardship for the gospel with the strength that comes from God." You know, Mother Angelica's life would have been much easier, your lives would be much easier, if you had said no. But it would also be much less fruitful. And Mother Angelica said, when all is said and done, if only one soul is saved, it'll all have been worth it. That's the value of one soul. Sister Mary David, I never knew her. She died in 1982. I arrived in 85. But it's interesting, the resemblance with St. Clair's life and Mother Angelica. So Mother Angelica knew that her mother would never give her permission to enter the monastery, even though she knew this is what God wanted. And so she left a note for her mother, and she went and entered the monastery in Cleveland. That's the same thing that St. Clair did, that she knew too, that she too had to leave in secret from her home, but God was calling her. Similarly, St. Clair's mother entered the monastery eventually. So Mother Angelica's mother, Sister Mary David, entered the monastery and became an extern sister. But I think it really shows you the loyal love of Mother Angelica. She never forgot her mother. And in fact, this is a remarkable thing that I had learned just recently, that in order to console her mother, when she was going to be given her religious name, she said, ask the superior for permission for her mother to choose her religious name. And yet you see how God's providence even worked through that. Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation. Really, no more fitting name could she have had in religion than Mother Mary Angelica of the Annunciation. The greatest message was the Annunciation of the angel Gabriel to Mary, the Word becoming flesh. Sister Charbel. So in the early days of the network, the sisters were involved in everything from answering live show phones to doing the accounting to taking the pictures after the live shows. But Mother realized that that was not their vocation. It was a temporary thing, but their vocation primarily was to pray. The friars were founded in part to be the spiritual support then for the network. But one time, and Sister Charbel was doing accounting, she said, Mother, we don't have enough money to pay the bills. And Mother said, well, why are you coming to me? I don't have any money. Go in the chapel and ask the Lord for, okay, Mother. So she goes in there and providence provides. And I think one of the lessons that Mother Angelica showed us works is trusting in divine providence. This was something very important to St. Francis and St. Clair, who are here in the statues depicted here. Francis didn't want to be like the monastic life where they were making beer or bread or something to. He wanted just, we're going to go out, we're just going to dedicate ourselves to preaching the gospel, and we're going to trust in God's providence. We're going to do like the early apostles did. Go out without money bag or any change of clothes. We're just going to go out. We're going to trust in his providence. And St. Clair, too, was firm on that. No, she was told again and again, you can't just depend on providence. You got to have something else for support. Clair would have none of it. And it was only a couple of years before she died that the Pope said, okay, you can just depend on providence. Well, it's worked for 800 years. And so Mother, I think, teaches us, seek first the kingdom of God, the rest will be given to you. And Mother thought it was important for us to remain dependent. To remain dependent. She didn't want to have some huge legacy that we could just kind of glean the interest off of. Because we could get sloppy, we could get lazy. But if every month we're depending on the Lord, we're staying on our knees. We're striving to live faithful to him. And she understood that that was important for us to remain dependent. So don't get down when you say, I don't know where the next money is going to come from. Lord, it's coming from you somehow, some way. Help me, show me the way, what I must do to help make the ends meet so this gospel can continue to be proclaimed. Sister Bernadette, she had known Mother in Kent, and it was much later that she came and joined the sisters here. And I remember a story she told me when I visited her in the hospital here in Coleman. She had a broken hip. She told me the story of this priest who had decided to leave the priesthood, and he had pawned off his chalice to have money. And she said he'd go back to that pawn shop later, and he'd look with longing at that chalice. He longed to offer Mass again, but was not able to. And the point, though, was to remain faithful to the Lord no matter what. That he is the only one who will satisfy your heart's deepest longings. And those who receive your transmissions. That's why we do what we do, because the answer is Jesus. He is the one who satisfies our listeners' deepest longings. I could tell you many stories if I had time to do that. So that's all of the sisters there. One sister remains alive, thanks be to God, and seems pretty strong and healthy and vigorous yet at 88 years of age, is Sister Michael. She was one of the first five that came with Sister in a station wagon. She told me that Mother told us as we were leaving Ohio to come down here to start this new venture. She said, everything you take has to fit into a brown grocery bag. That's all you can take. There wasn't room in the station wagon for a lot of suitcases or things. You're going to have to fit it all, whatever you're taking there. We're just going to trust in Providence. Well, what an adventure. And that's what I began in saying, you know, the greatest adventure, St. Augustine said, is to seek the Lord, is to seek him. That's the greatest adventure, seeking that union with him. The greatest accomplishment is finding him, being united to him. The greatest romance is to love him and know his love. That's what she's experienced. So, one final point here as we're coming toward the end, just a couple of points about Mother's spirituality. One of the important points she always emphasized was living in the present moment. Living in the present moment. What is the very best thing that you and I can do right now, today, for the good of the world, the good of the church, the good of our families, communities, our own personal good? What is the greatest thing that we can do? And the answer is living in God's will. If we're living in God's will, striving to live in his will, then we're going to bear the most abundant fruit we could possibly bear. And I think a good way to begin your day are with the words of Jesus and the words of Mary. My food is to do the will of him who sent me, Jesus said. And Mary, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. If we begin our day with that attitude, then whatever may come is okay. I'm the servant of the Lord. When we've done all we've been commanded to do, we say, well, I'm useless servants. But I'm loved by the Lord. And I'm going to bear the most abundant fruit I could possibly bear by just striving to carry out his plans, his purposes, his will in this time. And finally, what I think Mother Angelica teaches us, a woman with a brain tumor told me one time she had a surgery. It's affected her quite a bit. But she still lives a deep spiritual life. And she thought that this was Mother Angelica's greatest lesson of how to suffer well, how to suffer with joy. Mother Angelica's face had fallen. Maybe it was Bell's palsy, maybe it was a minor stroke. And you remember she had the patch for a time, and she continued to do the live show. And when I went to visit her in the hospital after this had happened, she said, "Yep, they'll say, see, I was right. She really is a pirate." So she was making light of it. And she knew that it would give people courage in their own disabilities, their own struggles in life. So she just continued to do those live shows with what such courage. Suffering, she called also her companion that kept her dependent on God too. And when she had especially difficult pains, one time she had broken her wrist and she had the rods, you know, the pins sticking out, and she said that was one of the most painful things she'd ever suffered. But she knew, she said, that God was going to do something big. He was going to do something through that suffering that she would offer. And when we're going through trials, we can say, "Lord, somehow I know you're going to turn this to good for some souls." St. John Vianney said, "There's a big fish that's going to be coming to confession." That's what he had in mind, that the Lord was going to take that suffering united with Christ's perfect offering, and it was going to benefit souls. And that's the kind of mentality, courage, hope that we have to have even in the struggles and trials of our lives. In conclusion, God raises up saints in every age to meet the challenges of that age. We have been blessed to have two great mothers in our own time, one who taught us the corporal works of mercy, St. Teresa of Calcutta, one who taught us the spiritual works of mercy, Mother Angelica, and one who taught us the beauty of spiritual fatherhood as well, Pope St. John Paul II. What remarkable people that show us the way to be faithful, to have this fullness of life, this joy, this hope alive of encountering the Lord, knowing him, loving him, and making him more known, however we can, to make him more known and loved. It's by God's design that you are here in this time in history, 2019. It's not an easy time, but no age has been easy. There's no age without its challenges. And the Lord's planted us, you and I, here now so that we can be part of that remedy of sanctity through our own example, please God, and through our proclamation of the gospel. Mother Angelica could not have done what was accomplished without the Lord calling others and them responding. So I pray that your retreat time here will be a time where you're going to be renewed in what the Lord has called you to do and helped you to have all the means you need to carry it out. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you peace, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.